The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited. When they ran out of wine, since the wine provided for the wedding was all finished, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said, "Woman, why turn to me? My hour has not come yet." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." There were 6 stone water jars standing there, meant for the ablutions that are customary among the Jews. Each could hold 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. "Draw some out now," he told them, "and take it to the steward." They did this. The steward tasted the water, and it had turned into wine. Having no idea where it came from, only the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom, said, "People generally serve the best wine first and keep the cheaper sort till the guests have had plenty to drink. But you've kept the best wine till now." This was the first of the signs given by Jesus. It was given at Cana in Galilee. He let his glory be seen, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Because in many ways that's got to be one of the favorite miracles, especially for anyone that may be throwing a party with many guests and free drinkers at it. You just wish that you could perform the same sort of miracle on those sort of occasions. I used the word miracle there purposely, because St. John doesn't call it a miracle. He says it's a sign. A sign. Now, a sign is something that points the way. It's there maybe to warn us or to give information. Sometimes it tells us of good, sometimes of bad. In health and safety days, we're used to lots of notices warning us and pointing out dangers to us. They're signs. But signs in life we need, of course, even if today we might call it sat-nav, maps, the way, something pointing out the way, signposts on the road. We need all that as we take note of the way, and that's true through life. The first half of John's Gospel is sometimes known as the Book of Signs. And this is the first one. That's what St. John says. It's the first one about this one, the deep significance of the relationship with God. And it's why it's given us, particularly at this time, the crib is still there, reminding us the great act of love that God showed for us. This is the sign pointing who this is. So that's why we're not told who the couple were in the marriage ceremony. It matters little, because the real marriage being celebrated is the marriage between heaven and earth, the union of God and humanity in Jesus. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Before Jesus' time, the relationship with God, as it were, the chosen people, was like a courtship before the marriage. Obviously, it had gone on a few thousand years, but it was all that preparation for the coming of Jesus. And all that is represented in the 6 stone water jars. 6. Partly because water is used for ablutions. Remember, of course, last week, the Feast of the Baptism, the reminder always of a washing away of the old sin, and the great lavers every time you went into the temple in Jerusalem were by the doors to wash yourselves, in the same way that we've always got the blessed water there to remind us of our baptism. Islam, of course, equally too, also has plenty of water for washing. But one of the problems was, in the time of Jesus, or as he came, which is why he came, that exaggerated insistence on ritual cleanliness had been part of a system that left the people with hearts like the jars, hearts of stone. The numbered six, because it's short of seven, and seven is the number of fullness of perfection. And that's why in his gospel, John gives us seven signs, complete signs, as to who this person really is. And he includes in it the seven sayings, I am the way, the truth, like whatever it is. Or you go to the Apocalypse that John also had a hand in, and there you get the seven churches and the seven angels and the seven trumpets and all that sort of thing. So the water change into wine is really saying that the preparatory courtship that has been going on has now reached the day of the marriage, and that the hearts of stone will be changed into hearts of flesh. So that's the first miracle, it says there, that Jesus did, a sign. And at the end of it, John says, this first glimpse of glory led his disciples to believe in him. And that glory would come to its fullness, his hour would come when he would be lifted up from the earth on Calvary, drawing all people to him, embracing them as his bride, loving them to the end. And just before we had our gospel reading, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding. On the third day, he rose again. On that third day after Calvary, he was lifted up, and he, as it were, took home his bride, humanity, to the Father. So that sort of courtship, wooing of the people in the Old Testament, prepared for a wedding day, as if new, the old symbolized in the water of the old washing away, the new is characterized in this celebratory wine of the banquet. And the banquet is ever fresh in the memory of Jesus. In fact, the Eucharist is that living memory of the wedding of heaven and earth, first glimpsed in this sign and consummated in the Easter Triduum. That's why I say we're always growing in what we've celebrated, because there's always something to learn. Because Christmas and Easter are part of one huge big mystery, the great mystery of he came down to earth from heaven, but then lifted up. But in St. John's Gospel, in the stories of Cana and Calvary, apart from Jesus, there was the mother of Jesus there. And she's seen in both occasions that intermediary role of unique importance. Do notice in this that it says the mother of Jesus was there, as if she was close to the family. It says Jesus and his disciples were invited, but it was the mother of Jesus that played the role. Maybe it was part of her family, maybe it was someone she'd grown up with, we don't know. All we know is that she's the focus, and she is the one that sees that there's a shortage of wine. How she knows that if that happens and they've run out of the wine, that'll ever be remembered. Do you know, like, certain things happen in your life and you never forget them? And I mean, you know, like maybe like running out of wine, or, and you know, in 20 years, 50 years, when you're celebrating the 50th anniversary, there'll be somebody there who say, and do you remember on the day they got married, it did this or it did that, or they ran out of wine? Mary knew the embarrassment of the couple if they ran out. So with great compassion, she says to her son, they have no wine. Because the first responsibility of a Jewish household is that of hospitality. And a wedding is a holy sign of God's love for the people. So if we run out, great embarrassment. But Jesus answers her in what seems to be a funny way. Woman, doesn't say mother. We wouldn't expect him to say Mary, maybe, but woman. And yet, he does the same on Calvary. But the titles, the mother of Jesus, woman, embrace the rich extent of her role. The mother of Jesus certainly refers to her, but it's open to include the Jewish people, the racial womb from which Jesus came. And in a way, the entire Old Testament period, in its incompleteness and longing, is almost caught up in Mary, woman. And she becomes the expression, in a way, of the nation, summed up in saying, they have no wine. She becomes the link between the Old Testament incompleteness and the fulfillment in her son. She's actually that link person. Now, the only other place that John refers to Mary is on Calvary. And at Cana and Calvary are linked in both places, where Jesus says to her, woman. If he'd have said mother, that would have only have meant his relationship to her. But he says woman. And that broadens the perspective. Now, if you think of last Sunday, you had a link with Genesis, where the Spirit hovered over the waters of baptism, the Spirit came on Jesus, linking Genesis with the baptism of Jesus. Next couple of chapters of Genesis, Adam says to God, the woman. Not my wife, not Eve, the woman. And the second Eve, Mary. It's tremendous links in this story that you might have never noticed before. The first Eve, in her disobedience, played a part in the fall of humanity. Mary, as the new Eve, speaks words of obedience. Do whatever he tells you. And her obedient faith plays a very significant part in the reconciliation of God and humanity, the wedding of earth and heaven. One commentator says, if you find that word woman strange, substitute for it humanity and see what it does for the sense of the phrase. Humanity, what do you want from me? Humanity, there is your mother, Mary, mother of the church, mother of humanity. And at Cana, she showed all the instinct and sensitivity when she realized that something was amiss. In her role as mother of the church, mother of humanity, she's sensitive to all the needs and anxieties of her children. And so that's why we always ask Mary's prayers to our. But as we do, we need also to say and hear what she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you.